Today's AudioCast for Monday, October 30th, 2006 is brought to you by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. Mike Blakeney reporting for AvWeb's Audio News Service. In the wake of three fatal crashes involving Cirrus aircraft in the past couple of weeks, Cirrus CEO Alan Klappmeyer is urging pilots to set and follow their own personal limits for flying in marginal weather. And although his message is addressed to Cirrus owners and pilots, it could apply to just about any pilot. In a letter to Cirrus owners, Klappmeyer urges them to take stock of their abilities and review all the safety-related material and services the company has created to try and prevent accidents. Klappmeyer wrote that historically, weather has been one of the most significant risk factors affecting general aviation. He noted that the onset of winter magnifies and extends potentially dangerous conditions. Klappmeyer added that we, as prudent pilots, must adjust our decision-making to the new season. Cirrus pilots also heard from the Cirrus Owners and Pilots Association on the same topic, and President Mike Radomski was a little more candid in his message. It is tempting, but very dangerous, to believe that because the airplane is capable of flying in challenging conditions, the pilot can take it there, he wrote. He added that no technology can replace training, skill, proficiency, and judgment. He also noted that, although statistically speaking, COPA members appear to be much less likely to be in an accident, no one is suggesting the $50 membership fee is the cure. The latest crash occurred Friday in Statesville, North Carolina, in bad weather. Two people were killed and two injured when the SR-22 they were in crashed about 50 feet from the airport in a wooded ravine. NTSB spokesman Ted Lopatkiewicz told the Charlotte Observer the aircraft was on an instrument approach when it crashed. According to witnesses, the aircraft made a low pass over the length of the runway and then returned to do the same. The witnesses told the Observer the second low pass was apparently aborted and the plane turned and climbed into the clouds before they heard it crash. The North Carolina crash came a day after a crash in northern Arizona killed a family of four from Georgia and about 2 weeks after New York Yankees pitcher Corey Lytle and his flight instructor Tyler Stanger died when the SR-20 they were in hit an apartment building in Manhattan. The very light jet market is fueled largely by the salesmanship of its optimistic originators and the potential of a boom in air taxi operations. But a study by a European media consultant company still predicts that 4,154 aircraft will be delivered over the next 10 years by at least five manufacturers. Philip Butterworth Hayes compiled the study for England-based PMI Media Group and said that some industry observers, critical of the manufacturer-supplied growth rate, contend that only two or at best three manufacturers will make it to market, but the authors of this report are slightly more optimistic. We believe, he said, that in addition to the five key programs featured in this report, there will be other new entrants who succeed in producing aircraft for the personal jet market. The study also strongly suggests that an air taxi business, which makes up the bulk of the initial orders for several companies, won't materialize as predicted. PMI shared a copy of the 155-page study with AvWeb, but is selling online and print versions, so we won't go into fine detail. If, as predicted by the study, the air taxi market doesn't materialize as some have envisioned, a lot of the customers for those 4,200-odd jets will be owner pilots, and that raises training and insurance issues. A Canadian company is addressing the pilot issues head-on with an introductory course for piston pilots who think they might like to fly jets. Jet Set Incorporated of Burlington, Ontario, held a training session for would-be jet jockeys over the past weekend and plans another for November 24th and 25th. The sessions give students a grounding in what will be expected of them as jet pilots for the relatively modest fee of about $2,250. This company says the introductory course is designed for pilots who dream about flying a jet, a much faster and appealing aircraft, but who have not had the opportunity before. Emerging markets in Europe, Russia, China, and India are helping fuel the continuing boom in aircraft sales worldwide, according to GAMAs, the General Aviation Manufacturers Association report on third quarter results for 2006. Most companies are reporting healthy sales increases both in terms of billing and in the numbers of units sold, and an increasing number of those aircraft are being shipped overseas. GAMA President Pete Bunt said in a news release that manufacturers have seen growth in all airplane sales, segments, part of which are attributed to strengthening sales in Europe and into Russia, China, and India. Gamma believes that business people and government officials are recognizing the dynamic role that general aviation plays in building a vibrant economy, and as manufacturers continue to bring new innovations to the market, the association expects this trend to continue. Work is continuing on development of the local area augmentation system to further enhance GPS navigation, particularly during precision approaches. The wide area augmentation system has been running for about 3 years and has opened up hundreds of airports for ILS approaches to established minimums using GPS data. The local area augmentation system is another refinement of GPS that allows even greater precision. Its goal is to offer very precise guidance to aircraft, eventually providing guidance all the way to the runway surface, even when visibility is near zero. Rannoch Corporation recently won an FAA contract to provide engineering support on the project. A law enforcement pilot for the state of Wisconsin has been cleared of all charges that he violated airport procedures at an airport in Wisconsin. According to a local newspaper, Larry Schlossinger was originally found guilty by an FAA administrative judge of flying a right-hand pattern in his personal aircraft, a Cristavia, at the airport instead of the standard left-hand pattern. He appealed to the National Transportation Safety Board and the charge was dismissed. Schlossinger offered as evidence documents showing he was flying in his law enforcement role for the state on August 6, 2003, the day he's alleged to have fudged the approach. He also entered his plane's maintenance log, which showed it was grounded for propeller work at the time of the alleged incident. Schlossinger alleges the charge was the result of a personal feud between himself and the person who laid the charge, possibly relating to Schlossinger's aerobatic activities. The FAA isn't saying whether a controller who allegedly fell asleep while on duty in Charleston, South Carolina last month has faced disciplinary action, but spokeswoman Kathleen Bergen did say that he's been cleared medically and has returned to work. A fellow controller arriving for work allegedly found his colleague dozing at the scope at about 6 a.m. on September 13th. He allegedly dozed off for a few minutes, according to Bergen's account reported by the Associated Press. No flights were affected, but things were about to get busy with the early morning departures. Doug Church, spokesman for the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, told the AP he wasn't surprised, since a shortage of staff has resulted in six-day work weeks and a heavy workload for many controllers. AOPA says it won't give up trying to convince the FAA to accept a state driver's license as proof of medical fitness to fly with a recreational permit. Recreational pilots are restricted to fixed gear, 180 horsepower, four-place aircraft flown day VFR only. AOPA argues that the difference in performance and weight between the recreational permit privileges and those allowed under the new sport pilot permit, which allows the driver's license medical, are not enough to continue requiring a third-class medical for the recreational certificate. According to the AOPA's Vice President of Government Affairs, too many healthy pilots have lost their medicals yet could still fly simple aircraft like Cessna 172 safely. AOPA says it's going to find a way to make that happen. Next time you get bounced into the headliner on a short-haul flight, you can take some comfort that you might be helping other aircraft avoid that weather. After an initial trial of Tropospheric Airborne Meteorological Data Reporting, or TAMDAR, with Mesaba Airlines, AirDAT LLC has attached weather sensors to aircraft toiling for regional carriers in all areas of the continental U.S., providing real-time, real-world meteorological data through satellite transmissions. AirDAT CEO Jay Ladd said in a news release that the rich stream of data from airliners-turned-weather stations is improving forecasting accuracy and allowing the airlines to adjust routing and scheduling on the fly to minimize weather delays. With this week's edition of AvWeb News, we have two staff changes to announce, one a new face and the second the departure of an old friend. Joining the AvWeb staff as editor-in-chief is Chad Troutvetter, a seasoned aviation journalist, CFII, and graduate of Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. Before joining AvWeb, Troutvetter was most recently an editor at Aviation International News, and before that, he did a stint as an editor at ProPilot. He'll join AvWeb as part of an ongoing expansion of our Sarasota, Florida editorial offices. We were unable to pry Glenn Pugh loose from California to join us here in Florida, but he'll remain aboard as a contributing news editor. Also, longtime AvWeb readers have come to appreciate the entertaining and insightful writing of Michael Maya Charles in his As the Beacon Turns column. But even good things must end. As of this week, Michael will be moving on to other writing pursuits, including growing his own publishing company, Artful Publishing. We wish Michael the best in both his continuing flying and publishing careers. Find all these stories and more online today at avweb.com. Comments on this podcast are always welcome. Just email us at audionews@avweb.com. This report has been made possible by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. Look for AvWeb's next audiocast this Friday, November 3rd, when we'll sit down with Spectrum Aeronautical Chairman Lyndon Blue. The company has renamed its Model 33 light jet as the Independence S-33 and announced the new Freedom S-40 midsize, and you'll want to hear all about it. Mike Blakeney reporting. Thanks for listening to AvWeb's Audio News.